Hello, this is Tierra with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Wednesday, December 24th, 2025, to Thursday, December 25th, 2025. This is the holiday edition. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Name That Christmas Album. Starting this article are six pictures. Each picture is of a woman. One is of a woman in front of a log cabin. The second one, the woman is sitting by a tree. The third one, a woman is leading a horse. The fourth one, a woman is peering outside of a truck with a cowboy hat on. Number five, a woman is standing against a snow backdrop with, it appears to be, skiing equipment. And the sixth one is of a woman sitting in a chair with a blanket across her, and it appears to be outside. This picture is captioned, "Here are some of the previous entries for Paula Luckinbill's annual Guess the Christmas Album contest. See if you can match them to the albums below." Answers will be on page 3. Decatur Woman's Holiday Card comes with a musical challenge. This article is written by Valerie Wells, valerie.wells@lee.net. The first year of Paula Luckinbill's annual Guess the Christmas Album contest was just a whim. Luckinbill owns singer Amy Grant's 1983 Christmas album, and she has a shed in her backyard that looks very much like the log cabin in the background of the photo on that album cover. She put on a ski sweater and jacket that were reasonable facsimiles of the ones Grant wore in the photo, stood in front of her shed, and had her friend, Suzanne Miller, take her picture. She said, "You need to send this out as your Christmas card," Luckinbill recalled. "And I said, single people don't send out Christmas cards. You do that with grandkids and dogs and so on and so forth. Then I said, well, we could send it out as a Christmas card contest." Pausing here for a picture that is included with the article. It is captioned, "Pictured is Paula Luckinbill's 2025 card. Luckinbill can't reveal the album or artist for this year's card until after the drawing on New Year's Eve. Provided photos." The card says Merry Christmas at the top. There is a picture of Paula Luckinbill with an item on her back. And the rest of it says, "And a Happy New Year, Paula Luke, 2025. Continuing with the article. "When she stood there, I immediately thought of Amy Grant's Christmas album," Miller said. Luckinbill did send it out and invited friends and family to guess the name and artist. And from there, it's grown into an annual event. She's done 12 cards counting this year, though she skipped 2015 and heard about it too, from disappointed recipients who had been looking forward to the game. In 2013, Decatur Public Schools took an extra long 4-week break in December because the remodeling of the high schools was underway and that time was needed to finish the work. So Luckinbill decided that was a good time for vacation in a warmer climate. She went to Siesta Key in Florida with friends, and she spent most of her week there, she said, looking for the perfect palm tree and the perfect beach to stage a photo like Kenny Chesney's All I Want for Christmas is a Real Good Tan album cover. "We're very particular about details," Luckinbill said. The rules Luckinbill has made for herself are that the Christmas album must be a solo artist, not bands or groups. She must pay attention to even small details and recreate the album photo as exactly as humanly possible. She puts all correct guesses into a hat and draws out a winner on New Year's Eve, and that person gets a gift card from her as a prize. She has used albums from all genres and time periods, with the oldest so far a 1958 Johnny Mathis album, her 2019 card. And that attention to detail has caused some difficulties, too. George Strait's Fresh Cut Christmas from 2006, which she used for 2017's card, featured Strait in a red pickup with a Christmas tree in the back. She found a hat and jacket like his, but was stumped by the red truck. She happened by Jackson Ford one day, and they had a red truck for sale, and she went in and asked the salesman if there was any way she could use that truck for the photo. At that time, there was a Christmas tree lot across Martin Luther King Jr. Drive from the car lot, and they were willing to let her borrow a tree too. And the salesman even washed the truck for her so it would look its best for the photo. They didn't ask for my driver's license or even my last name, Luckinbill said. Blake Shelton's 2012 Cheers, It's Christmas, her 2020 card, posed some real difficulties too. Finding the setting wasn't hard. Luckinbill used her own family room with the fireplace for the backdrop, and it looked enough like the room Shelton was photographed in to work. But spreading the fake snow near the fireplace and getting flames high enough to look like his photo proved problematic because Luckinbill was afraid the high flames would drop sparks onto the fake snow and cause a fire. She laid her lamps on their sides and pointed them at the setting so her friend, Sheila Fawcett, could photograph the right sort of muted look, and Fawcett used a desk chair with wheels so she could scoot easily to get just the right angle. We work really hard to get as detailed and specific and accurate as we can, Luckinbill said. The staging of Toby Keith's Christmas to Christmas album, which features a photo of Keith leading a horse who has a Christmas tree on its back, required borrowing a horse. The first horse they tried to use, appropriately named Holly, objected to the tree so vehemently that they had to use a different horse, this one named Gus. Luckinbill got a couple of trees on Christmas Eve, when Menards was giving away the remaining trees. She had to keep the trees until February, when the sky was the right color, there was snow on the ground, and Gus was available for a photo. That was her 2016 card. The photos, in other words, are not always taken at Christmas time. And while Luckinbill wears clothes and stages photos as closely as possible, she doesn't do anything else to herself. It's still her in the photo. She doesn't try to make her hair or face match the artist. Then there was Reuben McEntire's 2016 Cracker Barrel exclusive album, My Kind of Christmas, which Luckinbill recreated for her 2021 card. McEntire is pictured outdoors in the snow with evergreen trees behind her, sitting in a wingback chair and wearing a green plaid skirt. Luckinbill looked everywhere for a chair the right color and a skirt like McEntire's. Both proved elusive. Then I realized the comforter on my bed was perfect, Luckinbill said, laughing at herself. I walked by it every day. Fawcett owned a wing chair, but it's red, so they tossed a blanket over it that was the same color as McEntire's chair, and they had to go out on a snowy day with Luckinbill carrying that chair across a field. Her least favorite is Taylor Swift's Holiday Collection EP because the photo, showing Swift holding a guitar, was awkward to stage with Luckinbill. That was last year's card, and this year's is still a mystery album. She won't reveal the album name or artist until the contest ends on New Year's Eve. Paula Luckinbill has included some other example pictures of her previous Christmas cards. Dated 2023. Luckinbill is dressed in a white suit with a gold clarinet on a table. This is recreating Kenny G's The Classic Christmas Album. The next photo is of Paula Luckinbill. She appears to be laying down with the neck of a guitar. And this was for her 2024 Christmas card. This is recreating the Taylor Swift Holiday Collection. Last, Paula Luckinbill has included her 2022 card. She is posed with a red package in her hands, wearing a wool coat and a white hat. And this is recreating James Taylor at Christmas. Are you ready for those answers from the initial six pictures? Here we go. So for the first picture, this was the one of Paula Luckinbill posed in front of a log-looking cabin. That is recreating Amy Grant's 2013 album. The second picture where Paula Luckinbill is seated next to a tree with a red Christmas hat and capris on, is recreating Kenny Chesney's 2014 album, All I Want for Christmas. The third photo, this is of Paula Luckinbill leading a horse, recreates Toby Keith's 2016 album, Christmas to Christmas. The fourth picture, with Paula Luckinbill in a red truck with the cowboy hat on, recreates George Strait's Christmas album from 2017. The fifth picture, this one was of Paula Luckinbill with the ski equipment against the white backdrop of snow, is recreating Johnny Mathis' Merry Christmas album, and this is the 2019 cover. The last picture, this one is of Paula Luckinbill seated in a chair with a blanket over her, and it appears to be outside. This one recreates Reba McEntire's 2021 Cracker Barrel album titled My Kind of Christmas. Our next article on the front page is titled GDP Up 3.8% and Spending Jump. Consumers Push Strongest Expansion in 2 Years. This article is written by Matt Ott with the Associated Press. This article takes place in Washington. The U.S. economy grew at a surprisingly strong 4.3% annual rate in the third quarter, the most rapid expansion in 2 years. U.S. gross domestic product from July through September, the economy's total output of goods and services, rose from its 3.8% growth rate in the April to June quarter, the Commerce Department said Tuesday in a report delayed by the government shutdown. Economists surveyed by the data firm FactSet forecast growth of just 3% in the period. As has been the case for most of this year, the consumer is providing the fuel that is powering the U.S. economy. Consumer spending, which accounts for about 70% of U.S. economic activity, rose to a 3.5% annual pace last quarter. That's up from 2.5% in the April to June period. A number of economists, however, believe the growth spurt may be short-lived with the extended government shutdown dragging on the economy in the fourth quarter, as well as a growing number of Americans fatigued by stubbornly high inflation. A survey published by the Conference Board Tuesday showed that consumer confidence slumped close to levels not seen since the U.S. rolled out broad tariffs on its trading partners in April. The jump in consumer spending reminds me a lot of last year's fourth quarter, said Stephen Stanley, chief U.S. economist at Santander. Consumers were stretching, so, as was the case entering this year, households probably need to take a breather soon. The Conference Board said Tuesday its consumer confidence index fell 3.8 points to 89.1 in December, the fifth straight monthly decline, and approaching the 85.7 reading from April, when President Donald Trump rolled out his import taxes on U.S. trading partners. November's reading was upwardly revised to 92.9. A measure of Americans' short-term expectations for their income, business conditions, and the job market remained stable at 70.7, but still well below 80, the marker that can signal a recession ahead. It was the 11th consecutive month that reading has come in under 80. Consumers' assessments of their current economic situation tumbled 9.5 points to 116.8. Write-in responses to the survey showed that prices and inflation remain consumers' biggest concern, along with tariffs, despite Trump's repeated claims that inflation is a hoax. However, at least in recent years, consumer spending has held up even when data suggests they've grown more anxious about money. Tuesday's GDP report also showed that inflation remains higher than the Federal Reserve would like. The Fed's favored inflation gauge, called the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, or PCE, climbed to a 2.8% annual pace last quarter, up from 2.1% in the second quarter. Excluding volatile food and energy prices, so-called core PCE inflation was 2.9%, up from 2.6% in the April-June quarter. Economists say persistent and potentially worsening inflation could make a January interest rate cut from the Fed less likely, even as central bank officials remain concerned about a slowing labor market. If the economy keeps producing at this level, then there isn't as much need to worry about a slowing economy, said Chris Zaccarelli, Chief Investment Officer for Northlight Asset Management, adding that inflation could return as the greatest threat to the economy. Another consistent driver in the U.S. economy, spending on artificial intelligence, was also evident in the latest data. Investment in intellectual property, the category that covers AI, grew 5.4% in the third quarter, following an even bigger jump of 15% in the second quarter. That figure was 6.5% in the first quarter. Consumption and investment by the government grew by 2.2% in the quarter after contracting 0.1% in the second quarter. The third quarter figure was boosted by increased expenditures at the state and local levels and federal government defense spending. Private business investment fell 0.3%, led by declines in investment in housing and in non-residential buildings, such as offices and warehouses. However, that decline was much less than the 13.8% slide in the second quarter. Within the GDP data, a category that measures the economy's underlying strength grew at a 3% annual rate from July through September, up slightly from 2.9% in the second quarter. This category includes consumer spending and private investment, but excludes volatile items like exports, inventories, and government spending. Exports grew at an 8.8% rate, while imports, which subtract from GDP, fell another 4.7%. Tuesday's report is the first of three estimates the government will make of GDP growth for the third quarter of the year. Outside of the first quarter, when the economy shrank for the first time in 3 years as companies rushed to import goods ahead of President Donald Trump's tariff rollout, the U.S. economy has continued to expand at a healthy rate. That's despite much higher borrowing rates the Fed imposed in 2022 and 2023 in its drive to limit the inflation that surged as the United States bounced back with unexpected strength from the brief but devastating COVID-19 recession of 2020. Included with this article is a picture. It is of a building in New York, it appears, with lights across it that say "Give Love." And this photo is captioned, "Shoppers wait in line November 28th to enter Macy's flagship store in New York." This picture was taken by Angelina Katsanis with the Associated Press. Our next article on the front page is titled, "Harristown Gets $1 Million Grant for Water Upgrades, Macon County." This article is written by Valerie Wells. This article takes place in Harristown. Harristown received an early Christmas present of $1 million to upgrade its water lines. U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat, Springfield, delivered the news Monday at the Harristown Community Center. "This project first came to my office under Mayor Evelyn Deverell," Budzinski said. She shared her concerns about the aging water lines. "Those concerns are serious and they need to be addressed. We can all agree on this, I think, no matter where you live, whether in a big city or a small village like Harristown, everyone deserves access to safe, clean, and reliable drinking water." The village recently replaced its water meters, said current Mayor Les Jenkins, and discovered that they'd been losing about 40% of their water to leaks thanks to the 50-year-old lines. Recently, they lost 70,000 gallons overnight to a leak, which the new meters tracked. The village buys its water from a cooperative, and that kind of loss means the village coffers take a serious hit. "That's a lot of money," said village engineer Seth Flatch. "The problem is not just in Harristown," Budzinski said. "Villages, cities, and towns throughout her district are facing similar issues with aging infrastructure. and many of them don't have the financial resources to do anything about it. Water infrastructure is a real asset for a community, and we need to help, Budzinski said. While there is not, at present, any plans for a major infrastructure bill that would address these issues, Budzinski said, she would support such a plan. The $1 million won't cover the entire project of upgrading the entire water system in Harristown, but it will go a long way toward that goal, Flatch said. Federal funds like this require a lot of paperwork, and work on the upgrades can't begin until that is completed and the money is in hand, Jenkins said. But Budzinski said her office will help with the paperwork. The hope is that the upgrades can begin soon. You can contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982 or follow her on Twitter or X at ModGirlReporter. Included with this article is a picture of three people seated at a table. The picture is captioned, Representative Nikki Budzinski, flanked by Harristown Mayor Les Jenkins and Village Engineer Seth Flatch, announced a $1 million grant to the village to upgrade its water lines. This picture was taken by Valerie Wells with the Herald and Review. We continue on page 2 of the Decatur Herald and Review with the first article titled, Police, 19-year-old woman shot in leg. This article was written by Tony Reed, tony.reed@lee.net. This article takes place in Decatur. Police are investigating multiple and apparently random shootings in Decatur that left one victim with a gunshot wound. Lieutenant John Quill with the Decatur Police Department said officers were dispatched at 8:18 p.m. Sunday to reports of a shooting at the intersection of North MacArthur and West Pershing Roads. And while we were out there, a gunshot victim arrived at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Quills added. He said the 19-year-old woman had been shot in the leg. Quills said there had been no arrests and that investigation was continuing, along with inquiries into a shooting at 9:46 p.m. Sunday in the 1300 block of East Olive Street. Quills said officers found multiple spent bullet casings, but there were no reports of injuries or property damage. A house was hit with gunfire, however, on Friday night. Police had been called to the area of East Grand Avenue and North Jasper Street on reports of gunfire. A shell casing was recovered, and Quill said a nearby residence had been hit. He said it was unknown if the house had been the target of the gunfire. You can contact Tony Reed at 217-421-7977. Follow him on Twitter or X at Tony J. Reed. Our next article on page 2 of the Decatur Herald and Review is titled, Cops, Gun Waved in Road Rage Incident. This article is written by Tony Reed, tony.reed@lee.net. This article takes place in Decatur. A driver tells police he was menaced with a gun after a confrontation with another driver far from the Decatur Police Department headquarters on West Southside Drive. Lieutenant John Quill said the 36-year-old driver had been westbound on the road Friday night when he was involved in what was described as a road rage incident. This guy then follows the other car to get a picture of the license plate, and the occupants end up getting out, and one of them waves a firearm around, Quill added. He said the driver was not hurt in the incident, which is being investigated by detectives. Contact Tony Reed at 217-421-7977. Follow him on Twitter or X at Tony J. Reed. Turning to page 3 of the Decatur Herald and Review, we are continuing with an article titled Christmas in the Air. There is a picture accompanied with the article. There's a Christmas tree and a fireplace in the front with candles and lights strewn around it. Like many seasonal traditions, lighting candles in fireplaces is best done in moderation, experts say. This article is written by Cheyenne Mumphrey with the Associated Press. The warm spices in gingerbread, the woodsy aroma of pine and fir trees, and the fruity tang of mulled wine are smells synonymous with the holiday season. Many people enjoy lighting candles, incense, and fireplaces in their homes to evoke the moods associated with these festive fragrances. Burning scented products may create a cozy ambiance and, in the case of fireplaces, provide light and heat, but some experts want people to consider how doing so contributes to the quality of the air indoors. All flames release chemicals that may cause allergy-like symptoms or contribute to long-term respiratory problems if they are inhaled in sufficient quantities. However, people don't have to stop sitting by the hearth or get rid of products like perfumed candles and essential oil diffusers, said Dr. Meredith McCormick, director of the Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine Division at Johns Hopkins University's Medical School. Instead, she recommends taking precautions to control the pollutants in their homes. Clean air is fragrance-free, said McCormick, who has studied air quality and lung health for more than 20 years. If having seasonal scents is part of your tradition or evokes feelings of nostalgia, maybe think about it in moderation. Indoor air quality. People in the Northern Hemisphere tend to spend more time indoors during the end-of-year holidays when temperatures are colder. Indoor air can be significantly more polluted than outdoor air because pollutants get trapped without proper ventilation or filtration, according to the American Lung Association. For example, active fireplaces and gas appliances release tiny airborne particles that can get into the lungs and chemicals like nitrogen dioxide, a major component of smog, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Cleaning products, air fresheners, and candles also emit air pollutants at varying concentrations. The risk fragrances and other air pollutants may pose to respiratory health depends on the source, the length, and intensity of a person's exposure and individual health, McCormick said. It is also important to note that some pollutants have no smell, so scented products still can affect indoor air quality, experts say. Some people are more vulnerable. Polluted air affects everyone, but not equally. Children, older adults, minority populations, and people of low socioeconomic status are more likely to be affected by poor air quality because of either physiological vulnerabilities or higher exposure, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Children are more susceptible to air pollution because of their lung size. They get a greater dose of exposure relative to their body size, McCormick said. Pollutants inside the home also pose a greater hazard to people with heart or lung conditions, including asthma, she said. Signs of respiratory irritation include coughing, shortness of breath, headaches, a runny nose, and sneezing. Experts advise stopping use of pollutant-releasing products or immediately ventilating rooms if symptoms occur. The more risk factors you have, the more harmful air pollution or poor air quality indoors can be, McCormick said. Practical precautions to take. Ellen Wilkow burns candles with scents like vanilla and cinnamon when she does yoga, writes, or showers at her home in New Jersey. Her teenage daughter, on the other hand, likes more seasonally scented candles like gingerbread. The candle has a calming presence. They are also very symbolic and used in rituals in many religions, she said. Wilkow said she leans toward candles made with soy-based waxes instead of petroleum-based paraffin. Experts note that all lit candles give off air pollutants regardless of what they are made of. Buying products with fewer ingredients, opening windows if the temperatures allow, and using air purifiers with HEPA filters are ways to reduce exposure to any pollutants from indoor fireplaces, appliances, and candle displays, McCormick said. She also recommends switching on kitchen exhaust fans before starting a gas-powered stovetop and using the back burner so the vent can more easily suck up the pollutants. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, Holiday Edition, Wednesday, December 24th to Thursday, December 25th, 2025. Please stay tuned.